Welcome to the Powered by Transova podcast, where Transova team members and industry experts will cover how our reproductive toolbox of embryo transfer, in vitro fertilization, sorted semen, and cloning technologies can multiply the success within your livestock breeding program. Throughout our series, we will also cover a wide array of topics such as frequently asked questions, management and care advice, as well as client and location highlights.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Powered by Transova podcast. Happy to be back with you all. And I probably say that every time, Sarah, so need to mix it up because...
But we are happy to be back with him.
We're excited. We love doing this. And I heard that there's some drinking games being started with the number of times that we say toolbox and some other words. So that's our New Year's resolution, is to come up with new catchphrases.
I thought maybe you meant play less drinking games, but yeah, being less repetitive would be good too.
Well, today we have a familiar voice back with us. Dr. John Schmidt is here to talk about the 7-in-7 sync protocol that is sweeping the nation. It's a fairly new protocol that I believe it just came out maybe a year or two ago from the University of Missouri. And he's going to be talking about the ins and outs of that and how it's affected people's programs.
Yep. As usual, Dr. John Schmidt does a great job of getting into some of that nitty gritty and helping. I mean, I learned from, you know, his podcast today about the benefits of it, the differences, and kind of just all about that synchronization protocol. And sometimes, you know, it can get messy listening to all the details, but I think he does a great job outlining this protocol and then how it differs from others.
Yeah. And he throws down some statistics that I think are very helpful to know, like, is this even worth the time? Because as he says, it's extra resources, extra time through the shoot. So it's up to you to decide if that is worth it to you. He provides some good data to help you decide that. And we're going to share some links in the podcast information so that if you want more info to look up more about this, you can have that readily available.
I think you, Emily, you also did a good job at the end. You mentioned that this is just kind of one part of a, piece of the puzzle. We're focusing specifically on one topic for this podcast episode, but it's a reminder that it's not a fix. It's not, you know, the only answer. There's so many different components that go into a successful breeding program and conception rates and just, you know, the whole reproductive toolbox. It's a good reminder that it's just one part of it, but it's also really interesting to listen to the nitty-gritty just on this topic alone.
Yeah. And I'm sure there are other people that will listen to this and be like, probably be even more confused, because that's how I feel. And you need to look at a picture, and we will include links to all of that stuff to help you with that. Encourage you, if you haven't listened to John's other podcast, go back and listen to that, because there's some great info that kind of ties all of this together.
Absolutely.
So without further ado, here is Dr. John Schmidt talking about the 7-in-7 sync protocol.
Welcome, everybody, to the Powered by Transova podcast. Today, we have with us Dr. John Schmidt, and we are going to be talking specifically about the 7-in-7 protocol and kind of going into some FAQs around that protocol and get kind of Dr. Schmidt's perspective on that protocol. So Dr. John Schmidt, why don't you go ahead and give us a brief introduction of yourself? You've been on the podcast before, but we'll get kickstarted with an introduction from yourself.
All right. Thanks, ladies, for having me on the podcast today to talk about synchronization. My name is John Schmidt. I've been with Transova for 17 years. Currently, my title is the Chief Technical Service Officer. And so my focus right now is really the kind of the science aspects of our business coupled with the service delivery components there, and how we tie those together, both in the professional services end of things, in the IVF labs, on the client service representative side of things. And so that's really my focus right now. When I'm not in a cow, when I am in a cow, I do spend a lot of time in Central South Dakota with a set of clients out in that region as well. So I get some good office time and some good shoot time kind of mixed together there. So
thanks again for being back on our podcast. I know your first one was very well received, so I'm excited to chat with you again today. Like Sarah said, we're going to focus on this new 7-in-7 sync protocol. So John, could you maybe give us a little background about what that is and how that was developed?
Yeah. So the 7 and 7 protocol is a synchronization program used to induce estrus and ovulation in mature cows, really to in order to prepare and synchronize them for artificial insemination or embryo transfer. So it's basically a variation of 3 different drugs. So all of the synchronization protocols out there really have 1, 2, or 3 drugs, synchronization drugs within those. You're going to have a GnRH component, you're going to have a prostaglandin, and you may have a progesterone component. And so we use those 3 drugs in combination to try and best prepare a cow to either get AI'd or receive an embryo 7 days later. So what we've done and how this differs from maybe some of the other protocols is most people are really familiar with the traditional 7-day co-sync plus CEDAR protocol. That's been around a number of years here and used by a lot of at least beef practitioner producers and practitioners to synchronize cows. And what we've done is we've made a slight modification to that synchronization protocol, and we're adding a pre-synchronization component to it. So we're taking the 7-day and we're adding before in advance or in ahead of that regular 7-day co-sync, we're adding a pre-synchronization aspect of it on the front end of it. And so what we're doing with the pre-synchronization component is we are preparing the ovaries to better respond to the steps involved with your standard 7-day co-sync protocol. And so how we do that is a week ahead of when you would normally put a CEDAR in a cow and give GnRH, a week ahead of that, we're actually putting the CEDAR in then, and we're giving a shot of prostaglandin. And what that does is it better prepares the ovary to respond to that GnRH step that you're normally used to starting a protocol with. And what we find is that it's in order for cows to best respond to that protocol, they need to respond to that first GnRH step because that sets the ovary up for the second step of your traditional 7-day protocol, which is the CEDAR removal and the prostaglandin component. So basically, we're just trying to best prepare the ovaries to respond to the standard steps of a 7-day co-sync.
John, you've done a great job of explaining what the 7 and 7 protocol is and maybe kind of how it differs from other synchronization protocols. Tell me, what are the benefits of using this protocol? Or, you know, do you see a lot of producers switching to it? Can you kind of explain that to us a little bit?
The benefit of this protocol is ultimately it gets more cows in heat and responding to the synchronization program. We've all got a lot of investment in both time and money into getting cows in through the chute, giving the shots, and trying to get them to come into heat. And what this protocol does is it does a nice job of getting animals more responsive to that. So you end up with more animals in heat in a tighter window. And the reason that you get the benefit from that is we see that a larger number of animals have a single large ovarian follicle at the time that you give the GnRH shot. And because of that, they respond to that better. They all come to the chute a week later with a single CL on their ovary, which creates a better responsiveness to the prostaglandin shot that you give when you remove the CEDAR. And so by doing so, you get more cows responsive to that prostaglandin shot in a quicker time frame. And so they all come into heat, or they don't all come into heat, but a larger number of them come into heat at a sooner time after you pull that CEDAR. And so you don't get this 3-day expression of estrus that you sometimes see in some of the other protocols. They generally come in and, you know, within a half a day to a day, a large majority of the cows have already shown estrus. And so you get a nice tight synchronization from that. And what we also see is pregnancy success increases with animals that display estrus, both in a timed embryo transfer or a timed artificial insemination protocol, and also in an embryo transfer program. And so if you can get more cows showing heat, your pregnancy success rates or your preg rates or whatever you want to call them are going to increase with that as well. And so that's why people are going to this, to get more cows in heat, increase their overall pregnancy rate per animal synchronized. And we do have quite a few beef producers that have switched over to it. So Transova has been using it here just for about the last 18 months. And this last summer, we had a large number of our beef producers use it for the first time. There's another practitioner group out there in Kansas that have been using it for a number of years, I think for 3 or 4 years now, successfully. And their producers have essentially all switched to this. So one of the old protocols that people used to use was the incorporation of an estradiol component. And what that did is it really created a large response to the cows. I mean, basically all of them were in did respond to that. And that product has since come off the market. But this is probably the closest replica to an estradiol type synchronization protocol that I've ever seen. The cows do come in nice and hot and quick. And so that's the benefits.
So John, yeah, it sounds like it's worth the switch, especially if you're dealing with a large group of cows that you want to have come in right at once together. You know, and a lot of the people that listen to this are a mix of AI and embryo transfer programs. Does this protocol work best in an AI situation or embryo transfer or even both, either or?
It can actually work in both, and they've done research to see if there are benefits in both programs. There is some good research and literature out there. I'm going to actually have you guys post links to the research, maybe in the show notes here. But what they found on some initial studies is they took 1,300 recipient animals and they exposed half to the 7-day protocol and half to this new 7-7 protocol. And they found an increase in estrus expression. They went from 76 to 86 with the 7-7 protocol. And when they evaluated the amount of animals that were pregnant over the number that were synchronized at the end of the day, they went from 34% pregnant to 40%. And so there was an 18% increase in the number of animals that were pregnant over synchronized. Likewise, in the AI settings, they went from 64% to 82% of animals showing estrus prior to fixed time artificial insemination. And when you looked at pregnancy rate of those animals with both, I think the animals that were synchronized and AI'd with conventional semen or non-sorted semen went from 61 to 72%. And with sorted semen, they went from 44 to 52%. So there are advantages and improvements that one can see with both protocols that's been demonstrated in research. We do have some producers that tried it out this year and maybe didn't see as much of an improvement over the previous year. So it's maybe not for everybody. If you've got everything going in a real strong results and everything is all lined up and you're getting all you can get out of a program, there may not be as much benefit for a person, but it's one of those things where I invite everybody to really try it out in both your AI and ET programs, if that's something you want to try and see if you can find some benefit from it.
John, you've kind of talked about how it works for some people and maybe doesn't for others, or it's kind of a situational thing. Is this a protocol you recommend in certain situations? Is it work better on cows or heifers or similar for both? Is there, you know, do you recommend it in particular situations?
So right now, the protocol is recommended in cows only, mature cows. I've heard of some people trying it out in heifers. Not probably enough feedback to know whether to recommend it there or not. They are actually not recommending it to be used in heifers. I've heard that they're trying to make some other modifications so that it's better suited for heifer programs. A cow, mature beef cow, And the heifers are very different in their ability to respond to GnRH and dairy animals as well, for that matter. And so you have to take those considerations into effect when you're looking at synchronization protocols. And so right now at this time, I'm still hearing that they're just kind of recommending it on the cow aspect of things. And I don't know that I have any particular situational things where I'd advise it over a 7-day co-sync. Certainly you need to consider some of the resources you have at hand. Do you have enough time to incorporate another 7 days into your protocol? You know, by the time some guys get to thinking about synchronizing cows, they may be behind the ball a little bit. You got to be better prepared with the 7-7 protocol. You got to have the labor around for another time through the chute a week ahead of when you would normally put cedars in. So those are maybe some considerations a person should take when they're considering using this protocol. You know, some people would suggest that an additional 7 days of progesterone. So basically your cedar is going to be in for an additional 7 days. So you have 14 days of progesterone supplementation into that cow. And some would suggest that can help with animals that are maybe shorter postpartum or 2 and 3 year olds that just need a little boost and are behind, or cows that are maybe a little bit thinner in their condition. Those are maybe situations where I would try to say, hey, let's get an additional 7 days of progesterone under those animals if we're just behind on some things nutritionally or from an overall condition standpoint. So those are maybe the situations that I can think of where I would advise the 7-7 over a 7-day protocol.
Yeah, that's all good stuff, John. I think that's the $1 million question of, is the extra time through the chute and the extra resources worth the possibility of an increased preg rate? I think that's the $1 million question that producers need to ask. You've talked a lot about, you know, there's good chunk of people switching, and we've talked primarily about beef. Do you see this being used in dairies or in the future possibly?
So I spend well more than 90% of my time with beef producers. I'm maybe not as connected to the dairy segment, but what I can say about, I can't say for sure, but I don't think it's being used in the dairy segment, because dairy producers and practitioners and reproductive physiologists have been using pre-synchronization long before 7-7 came out. And so there's a protocol out there called double ob-sync. And there's other variations of that and others as well, where that really capitalize on the idea of using treatments ahead of your regular standard core synchronization protocol to better prepare the follicles and the ovaries to ovulate and respond, et cetera. So I think the dairy sector really has kind of their own set of protocols that already incorporate pre-synchronization into it. I don't hear of them being used at this time, I guess, in that.
There's been a lot of information that you've given, John, about this synchronization protocol in particular. Is there anything else you would add, or things that Emily and I maybe haven't brought up that you think is important for clients and producers to know?
I might just highlight the fact that there's another protocol out there called the 14-day cedar protocol. And you would think that 7+7 and the 14-day cedar protocol are the same thing, but they are actually not. They're very different. Well, not very different, but they are different protocols with different targets there. So don't automatically assume that the 14-day cedar is the 7-7 because it's a different deal. Maybe we should have called those something a little bit differently as an industry, but nevertheless, they are different. They park on some similar principles, but different in the way that they're executed and the way the protocol looks. So don't go out there and you see a protocol with 14 days of cedar in a cow thinking that that's the 7-7. Because with this protocol, basically what it is, I guess going to the first question, is you give prostaglandin and a cedar on day zero. 7 days later, you come in and give a GnRH shot, leave the cedar in. A week later, 7 days later, so you're on day 14 there, you're going to pull the cedar and give a prostaglandin shot. And then that sets you up to get the cows into heat. So even though there is 14 days of cedar within this protocol, it is a different protocol than the 14-day cedar protocol. So that's the one thing I would maybe want to highlight there. And then, yeah, in summary, this 7-7 protocol, in my experience, I had a lot of my clients switch to it this summer. We're real happy with the synchronization they got out of it. It gave a nice, strong, uniform response to the synchronization. And, you know, we saw some of the best results this past summer that I've seen in several years here from a synchronization response standpoint, from a cow utilization standpoint, and from a pregnancy rate standpoint. Now, that's certainly not across the board. And I may have some clients that listen to this podcast saying, didn't happen in my protocol or my program. And so you have a little bit of that. But in general, I saw a lot of people really enjoy and like this protocol, and we'll be using it in the future as well. So
I think that's a good point, John, that just because you try this doesn't mean it's going to fix all of your problems when it comes to pregnancy rates. Refer back to the first time you were on the podcast. There's a lot that goes into that of nutrition and timing and all of that jazz. So this is just one piece of the puzzle for that. Awesome. Well, unless you have anything else to add, we'll wrap up.
Yes. So we'll get links in the show notes to some articles and maybe some videos if you're mm-hmm. interested in hearing more or learning more about the 7-7 protocol. And hopefully we've answered the questions that you have at this point.
Yeah, definitely. Well, we'll make sure to post those, and hopefully you guys will be listening to this in well enough time for spring breeding. I think we'll miss the fall breeders, but this will set you guys up for spring. So thanks again, John, for joining us. Appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule to speak with us and share your knowledge to our listeners, I should say. Thanks again, and we will catch you next time on the Powered by Transova podcast.
We appreciate you tuning in to Transova. If you have any topics you'd like to hear more about, send an email to moreinformation@transova.com. Thank you.